Be seated, and you may wonder, did Pastor Dan forget that Father's Day is next Sunday? And I did not. I understand that, but this is part one. Father's Day next Sunday is next Sunday. It'll be part two to this. We'll get very practical next Sunday. I want to lay a foundation this morning, bring part two to you next Sunday. I hope you'll invite people to come with you. It'll be very practical, very helpful. I believe as I look at America today, we're in a fathering crisis in our land. I think that we need to regain some lost ground in fathering. We need to establish a vision for the significance of fathering. We need to do all that we can to help young men today to become strong fathers. I have three sons. One is grown, one is married. He's got two kids of his own. Two boys. I'm a grandpa two times to two beautiful grandsons. And in fact, last night, Landon, who's three, spent the night at our house at Mamaw and Papaw's last night. And this morning he woke up and he was at the house there. And I said, "Are you going to church today?" And he looked at me and he went, "Of course I'm going to church." And so I'm glad it's a no-brainer for him. Amen. I'm going to church. But anyway, I got two grandsons, three sons, and my other two sons, one was up here, right here, Clayton, and they have not been married yet, so they don't have any kids yet. But I'm not a perfect dad. I'm just going to tell you right up front, all right? And I never claimed to be a perfect dad, but I truly desired, ever since Clint, my first one, was born, I want to have a positive impact on their life. I'm going to do stupid stuff, and there's going to be things I'm going to do that, you know, definitely they probably won't do, but yet I wanted to be a positive influence, a positive role model, a positive impact on their life for God. And that's my heart still. That's still my desires. I want that so much. And unfortunately, there's an epidemic in our country and in our culture today of absentee fathers. And you say, "Pastor Dan, what is an absentee father?" In your handout, let me give you the definition of an absentee father. You ready? Look at that with me. It says, "An absentee father is a father that has little or no positive impact or influence in his child's life." Some of you, when I read that right away, you can identify because you had an absentee father. You had a father that was either not there at all or he had very little positive impact on your life. Some of you are like, "Pastor Dan, you don't even have to explain that. I know exactly what you're talking about when you said that." Well, why are dads so important? Why is this a serious thing? You know, and why are there so many absentee fathers today? Why is it so prevalent? And I think there's three reasons why it's so prevalent. And I'm going to give them to you real quick. You ready? Number one is, I think one of the reasons why we got so many absentee fathers in this culture of America is because of stressful, busy lives. We're just too busy. I think that many times dad has a long commute to work, or he works really, really long hours. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if somebody has to work long hours in order to put food on the table, that's one thing. But to work long hours just so you can have bigger and better and newer and keep up with the Joneses is not good. That's not right, okay? Because what happens is our kids end up paying the price because we become an absentee father. We overcomplicate our lives by wanting too much, by being so materialistic. And that's so encouraged in our culture today. Everything is aimed at trying to make us want bigger and better and newer and nicer. And so this load of stress that comes with this trying to live the American dream means that fathers can go days and days and days without sharing meaningful time with their children. Oh, they're in the home. They sleep there at night, okay? But even if they're in the home, many times they're too emotionally and physically drained at the end of the day to have any meaningful interaction with their kids. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just making observations at this point. These are not excuses. They're not going to cut it. And so it's not going to do any good to make an excuse. Say, "Well, I'm busy. That's why I don't have anything to do with my kids." No, these are observations. These are not excuses. The second reason why is this. Write this in your handout. An unbalanced drivenness in other areas, okay? This is huge. This is huge. This is something dads choose to do. They choose to get involved in a hobby, or they choose to get involved in a sport, or they choose to get involved in work to the detriment of being a father. They can't be a dad because they're so driven in these other areas, you know? And it's like going to the gym and or playing softball or playing golf or hunting or fishing or watching sports on TV or channel surfing become the computer is more important than spending meaningful time with our kids. And that's why we have so many absentee fathers. There is a lot in our culture today to grab our attention to where it's funner in our minds than just spending time with the kids, just talking or going out and throwing the ball or, you know, playing with your little girl, you know, what she wants to do. And I was reading a story about Jim Valvano, who was the head coach of North Carolina State. He died of cancer when he was 47 years old, and he was a very successful college basketball coach, and he gave a very touching final interview before he died to Sports Illustrated, and he was talking about his drivenness, you know, with winning as a basketball coach and basketball. And he said, I was so driven to the detriment of my family. He said, I remember one Father's Day, I happened to be home. And he said, nobody had planned anything. He said, nobody even mentioned that it was Father's Day. And he said, but then again, how could they have planned anything? He said, I was probably never home on Father's Day. I was off giving a Father's Day speech somewhere or getting a Father of the Year award somewhere. And he said, you know, you can bet for sure I wasn't going to be home on Father's Day. He said, well, I happened to be home this year. So he said, finally, he said, I asked the kids, the family, I'm like, hey, you know, man, it's Father's Day. Are we going to do anything? And he said, I'll never forget one of my daughters spoke up and she said, Dad, she said, we spent all of our lives being a part of your life. Now, when are you going to be a part of our life? And he said, it was like a punch in the gut. He said, but it was true. An unbalanced drivenness causes us to be an absentee father. The third thing is very simple, and that's divorce. Divorce causes a lot of absentee fathers. It doesn't have to, but many times it does. One study found, now get a load of this, you ready for this stat? One study found half of all fathers fail to ever see their child again after a divorce. Half of all dads fail to see their kids again after a divorce. That's astounding to me. And many times, even dads with the best of intentions can struggle to find adequate time for fathering in a shared custody situation. It's just tough, you know. It's maybe their job takes them and they move away so they're not even in the same city, you know, anymore with their kids. And it's tough. But I want us to go to the Bible. And again, I don't want us to say, well, we got to conform to culture. No. We have to conform to God's word. And I want you to look at Ephesians 6:4 with me, all right? Look at it with me. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that loving? He says, dads, don't make your kids angry. By the way, nothing will make a kid more angry, especially as they get older, than an absentee father. And he says, dads, he says, don't provoke your kids to anger. He says, but I want you to bring them up. That the idea of is loving, nurturing. Bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. God places the responsibility for rearing godly, spiritually well-balanced children on fathers. He just does. And men, we have to assume that God-given responsibility. We have to embrace it. We got to take a hold of this thing, all right? We got to, as the old saying goes, man, we got to step up to the plate. And we got to step up to the plate, and we got to be like, you know what? Maybe I've been an absentee father. Done. Done with that. I am not going to be an absentee father anymore. Maybe your kids are grown. I am not going to be an absentee father anymore in their life. I am going to be a positive voice in their life for God. I am going to be a positive influence in their life for God. I am not going to be an absentee father. I am going to be an Ephesians 6:4 dad by the grace of God. And that's got to be our attitude. You say, Pastor Dan, why are fathers so important? Why does God single out fathers in that verse? Number one, let me give you three reasons. Number one, dads prepare the child to cut the apron strings from mama. Dads prepare the child to cut the apron strings from mama. All right, now, let's talk about this a minute. A baby is in the womb and has no separation from its mother. Even after birth, the baby experiences life as if the umbilical cord has never been cut. And the bond between a child and a mother is one of the most powerful of human ties. There's no denying that, all right? It's like, I see that. I mean, my youngest grandson, he's like 6 or 7 months old. He's so cute. His name's Connor. And Connor was in, when he's at our house and I'm holding Connor, my wife can come in the room. He'll just smile at her. Clint, his dad, can come in the room, and he'll just smile at his dad. Clayton, Caleb, my other two sons, can come in the room, and he'll grin while I'm holding him. Let his mother, Kendall, come in the room. He doesn't grin. He cries, and he wants his mother. Pawpaw's not good enough anymore. Pawpaw's not good enough. He wants mama. When his eyes fasten on mama, he knows he wants mama. Let me tell you. So there is this powerful bond between a child and its mother, but y'all knew that was coming, right? But in your handout, it says the child must grow away from that strong bond until finally the child achieves full separation from her as an individual adult. A biblical sense of adulthood depends on this. I want you to take your Bible and go back one chapter to Ephesians chapter 5. Can you do that? Look at verse 31. Ephesians 5, 31. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be" what, church? One flesh. They're a new family. They're their own family now. Do you know what that's a quote from? Genesis 2:24. Do you know what the context is? God told Adam and Eve that. Yeah. God told Adam and Eve that. God said to Adam and Eve, here you go. Eve gives Eve to Adam and then says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Hold on, though. Adam and Eve didn't have any parents. Did you ever think about that? Adam and Eve didn't have earthly parents. They did not have a mother and a father. So why would God tell Adam and Eve to leave father and mother, and that my plan is that the child leaves father and mother, cleaves to their wife, and they become one flesh? Why would he tell them that when they didn't have any parents? He was preparing them as parents. He said that for the benefit of the fact that they would be having children, and he's letting Adam and Eve know, when you have kids, I just want you to know, you're raising them up to leave the nest one day. You're raising them up to leave. Now, some of you out there that are parents, that's hard medicine to take right there, but that's the truth. You are raising up that precious little angel to one day leave the nest. And in your handout, it says that's God's plan, all right? And the father plays a key role in that process. The father plays a key role in that process. You say, why? Because right after birth, dad should be there as a significant influence in that child's life to begin preparing them for that eventual separation from mom. And without the presence of a strong and loving father, the child can, and I'm not saying it always happens, but the child can end up suffocating in the mother's bond. Now, I'm going to give you some tough medicine right now, and this really is kind of to the ladies. So I know, again, this might be tough, but I want you to listen. I want you to hear me, and I don't want you to tune me out. I want you to listen, mama, all right? Uh-oh, here we go. Many times I've seen this. The smothering mother will not let go of her child because she has developed an unhealthy dependence on the child. rather than depending on her relationship with Jesus Christ. Rather than finding her identity in Christ, she finds her identity in being a mother. She comes to need the relationship more than the child does. And she wraps up her whole life in them and dominates them. And that's not good, because it stifles that normal and natural growth of her son or daughter that prepares them to leave and cleave to somebody else. Hey, anybody in here ever heard of a mother-in-law joke? I'm sure we've all heard plenty of mother-in-law jokes, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for so many mother-in-law jokes, all right? It's because many moms have this smothering, doting love, and they give the idea that nobody's good enough for my baby. Nobody's good enough for my baby. And what happens is that it drives the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law stark raving crazy. See? And causes many times so much of a problem and friction, then mother-in-law wants to know why they won't ever come around. Wants to know why they move away. Wants to know why they never. Because you have a suffocating love that's not healthy. See, you have to find your identity in who you are in Christ, not in the fact that you're a mother, because that's temporary. And again, there are extenuating circumstances. I understand that. But most of the time, you're raising them up to leave the nest. You're raising them up to leave and go and have their own family. Number two, the second reason that dads are so important are because dads provide the child much-needed love and acceptance. I want you to go back to Ephesians 6, verse number 4. Can you do that with me? Go to chapter 6, verse 4. And I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to tell me, who is God addressing in that verse? Come on, talk to me. Who's God talking to in verse 4? Fathers. Everybody look back at verse 1. Tell me who God's addressing in that verse. Children, and who is he telling them to obey? Parents. Now, hold on. So we're talking about parents in verse 1, but who are we talking about in verse 4? Interesting. He didn't use the same word. Now look at verse 4. He says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Wait a minute. Then God must have known something here in his wisdom. He knew dads were going to struggle with spending time with their kids. He knew there would be other things that would get dad's attention. He knew mom would automatically do verse 4 most of the time. He knew dads would struggle with that. And he knew if dad wasn't there, that it would provoke anger in his children because of his neglect. So he singles out dads and he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." That means bring them to, rear them to maturity. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Admonition means attention. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he singles out dads. Could have said parents, but he didn't. He said fathers. Why? The power of a father's love is so incredible. Why? Most kids never doubt that mom loves them. I'm just telling you. Most kids never doubt that mom loves them. They kind of take it for granted. They kind of take mom's love for granted. Ladies, y'all can say amen. Yeah, they do. Kids take mom's love for granted. It's a given. It's just kind of there. We know it, right? But most kids are reaching out for the love of their father. Children are wondering, what does he think of me? I wonder if dad really does love me. I wonder if he's really pleased with me. I wonder if dad's proud of me. You know? I wonder what he's thinking about me. Children, in your handout it says, children view their father's love as a choice rather than a given. And so when dad affirms them, it speaks to them that they have been chosen in love. There's a verse here that I think is a great example to us, and it's God the Father talking about his son, Jesus. And I want you to notice how God affirms his love for his son. Look at this verse on the screen. Jesus has been baptized, and after he gets baptized, it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased.'" I love my son, and I am well pleased. Look at this next verse. He said it again later. It says, "While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice..." Notice this voice comes out of the cloud, and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." What an example our Heavenly Father is. When he says, "I'm well pleased," that means to think well of. That means to approve. What an example our Heavenly Father has given to us. And I got to thinking, I wonder how often as dads we speak words like that to our kids. How often do we say to our kids, "I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad I get to be your dad. Man, I'm glad that you're my son or my daughter. God's really going to use you. You know, you've just got so much potential. You know, I'm just so proud of you. You are so special." These are things that kids need to hear. You see, it provides the child much needed love and acceptance. Number three, dads prepare the child for parenthood. That's the third reason why dads are so important. They prepare the child for parenthood. You know, a lot of father-deprived men are not effective fathers themselves. And it's a very simple reason why. In your handout, it says they simply don't know how to father because they never had a good father model. Their dad was an absentee father, or maybe the parenting skills weren't the best. And a lot of times, unfortunately, you know what we do? We say we're not going to be like dad, guys. But many times, that's kind of like our default setting where we end up going. Because that's what we saw. That's what we observed. That's what we lived through. And so many times, even though we don't want to be like dad was, that's kind of the default setting that we find ourselves gravitating to. And if dad was an absentee father, what happens is, young people enter into marriage, and many dads, they enter into fatherhood very ill-equipped. They're really not ready, and they don't understand what it means to be a strong and a loving father. They don't get it. Why? They didn't have a role model. They didn't have that. And you know what? You can understand that. You can understand that. I mean, look, if you took Dan Proctor and you put him in the cockpit of a commercial jet, and you said, "Okay, Dan, you are going to fly us to L.A. Let me tell you something. You would not want to be in that plane because I wouldn't have a clue. I've never seen it done. I've never watched anybody do it effectively. I've never studied. I've never been taught. Nobody's ever, you know, taught me how to do it. How could I be expected to know how to fly a jet to L.A. under those conditions? And in the same way, how can we expect men to be godly, effective fathers if they've never been taught, never been instructed, never had a role model, never had anybody show them how?" And so it's understandable. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. In your handout, praise God, it can be learned. It can be learned. Many men who had a bad example or no example of biblical fathering have become very loving, godly fathers. Because aren't you glad, church, that God's grace can intervene? Amen? God's grace can intervene. And by the way, it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, you accept Jesus, His Spirit comes to live inside of you. He begins to teach you the Bible, teach you God's truth. And in your handout, it says your Heavenly Father will teach you through His Word how to become the father that your child needs. And I will just say this, too. That's what the local church is all about, too. The local church is all about this. You know, when you go to a church, you want to have positive role models. Hey, if you didn't have a positive role model as a dad, you can go to church and you can be around other godly dads. And you can learn what it means to be a godly dad, what it means to be a godly husband, what it means to be a gody father. And so through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, through God's grace, through God's love, through God's teaching, praise the Lord, aren't you glad God can change us into the father that we need to be? God can change us. There's nothing shameful about not knowing how to do something. I mean, look, there are men that know how to build a house. They have no clue how to build a marriage. They just don't know. They've never been taught. There are men that they are great salesmen, but they don't have a clue about how to maybe, you know, raise up children. There are men that they know how to build a business. They don't have a clue how to be a husband and a father. They've never been taught. They've never had a role model. They don't get it. They don't know. And so there's no shame in not knowing. The shame comes, though, when we don't do anything about it. When we don't do anything to learn. We don't read. We don't have any godly relationships in our life to mentor us. But here's the deal. Dads are really important. Because you're teaching your dad. Odds are your son will be a replica of you when he's a dad. He's going to take the fathering skills he sees in you, and that's the dad he's going to be. So, like, if you're not hardly ever home and you put very little into your children, odds are he'll do the same thing. You know, if you're not kind and loving to your kids and you never speak words of encouragement, he'll probably be that way with his children. If you don't respect your wife and make your children respect her as the mother, then odds are one day he'll treat his wife that way too. But if we turn that thing around, and that's my desire, I'm like, you know, I really, you know, I was kind of learning on the fly, you know, when I was a dad, and I'm like, man, I want to be able to teach my kids so then one day they can be even better than me as a dad. And then their kids can be, you know, a godly dad and on down the line to where a godly heritage comes forth from our loins. And that's my desire. I've prayed about that for a long time. Lord, I want a godly heritage to come forth from us. I want there to be godly people that come forth from Denise and I, great-grandkids that maybe we don't even know, never meet, but that godliness continues on for generations to come. And that's what Psalm 78 is about, by the way. I hope you can read that this week. But, you know, we see how important that fathers are in a child's life. And I want you to listen closely to me, guys, for just a minute. And I hope you'll be open-minded enough to receive this as it's intended in love. Here's what I've heard. You ready? A lot of guys have this attitude. They think, mom will raise the kids. My wife will raise the kids. And I'm just going to go to work, focus on my career, while she focuses on the kids and raises them. And what I want you to see is that does not make logical sense, that doesn't make common sense, and it sure doesn't make biblical sense. Dads, your kids need you. They need you more than they need your money. They need you more than they need your things that you can buy them. They need you. And you have to do whatever it takes to be an active daily part of your child's life. I heard a story about a young man, and he had gone to a men's conference. He was in his mid-20s, and the speaker at the conference was counseling this young man. He was very distraught, and he shared with the speaker. He said, "My dad was physically present in the home, but he was emotionally aloof and distant." He said, "I don't ever remember having a meaningful conversation with my dad." And he said, "Throughout my entire childhood, my dad only showed up at one event." He said he showed up for a ball game and he was taking pictures at my little league game. Said he brought the pictures to me the next week to show me the pictures he took. I said, "Dad, that's not me, that's Scotty." He didn't even know how his son looked in a baseball uniform good enough to be able to take pictures of the right boy. And at that point in the story, the pastor, the speaker, he said, "I saw the hurt well up in his eyes." And he said, "I just reached out and I grabbed a hold of this young man and I hugged him." And he said, "Here's this young man in his 20s. And he said, "He just buried his head in my shoulder and he just sobbed. He sobbed in my arms." And he said, "For a moment, I knew I had become a surrogate dad to this young man." I'm telling you, it's important. Dads are important. And next week, I want to come back and I want to show us how dads can have a positive impact on our children's lives. I'm talking about even after they're grown and gone, because some of you may be wondering, well, what if my kids are grown and gone? What do I do? There's stuff you can do. What if I'm divorced? What if I'm a single mom and the dad's an absentee father? What if I'm a stepdad? Or what if I have stepchildren? Or what if my kids now have a stepfather who's really involved in their life? What do I do? You know? And so next week we're going to kind of talk about some of those specific situations. We're going to look into God's Word about how we can be a positive influence in our children's lives. So I hope you'll come back and be a part of that and invite people to come. You say, well, Pastor Dan, I don't have any kids. I'm not ever planning on having any kids. And so normally you hit me right there, but I got the week off this week. Amen. Well, here's the deal. Can I encourage you, take the message, share it on Facebook. Take this message, tell your friends about it. Take this message, share it with somebody that you know is a dad and say, man, I heard a great message on fathering. I think it'd be a blessing and a help to you. And share this information. Look beyond yourself and share it with somebody else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes,